Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on the American Freedom Radio Network, the network with integrity and fabulous, fabulous awesomeness, like a family environment. And we're very glad to have you all listening too. We want to keep things positive. We want to keep things happy, even though at the moment I'm really not feeling too positive or very happy, but I'm just going to put on a big glossy veneer. While we interview my very wonderful guest today, Will Spencer, the Body Electrician Clinic, I believe it is.
Yes. How are you doing, Vinny?
Yeah. Not feeling too good today.
Yeah, me neither. I think it's Mercury or something, or Venus, or, you know, there's something in the heavens going on.
I don't know. I think there's something in hell going on.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, you can say that. I'll second that.
let's not go there. should we just scramble right on into it? And also, you mentioned before coming on the show today that you're not allowed to be referred to as the body electrician, but it has to be the body electrician clinic or something. Why the specificity?
Oh, there's another fella that says that he's been entitled, calls himself the body electrician. Longer than I have, and I know who that is, and I just said, okay, that's fine. I already have my whole business and everything set up this way, but that's okay. You do what you need to do, and I will not refer to myself as the body electrician. So the body electrician clinic is my business and what I do to help people feel good. So just to make a little distinction there, you know, I gave my word.
Okay, so it was a specific request from the body electrician, was it, to not use the title?
Yes.
Yeah, those kind of trademarking things can be rather irritating. So, in either case, what exactly does the body electrician clinic do?
We help people heal from all manner of disease.
What about tyrannical government?
There's an injection for that you can get at the hospital, not at my place, though.
It's an anti-parasite injection, is it? I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a series of them, and that's just one. How's that?
Is there like 52 before the age of 18 months or something like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So your immune system is destroyed. Your nervous system is destroyed. You can't think. All you can do is be classified as a slave work unit. And that's it. And
that seems to be a good way to cure yourself from being tyrannical government, to love tyrannical government. Therefore, it's not a problem for you.
Exactly. Maybe they call it the I love my slavery. And it's a series of 52 injections starting now. And you'll love it at the end.
I have a t-shirt that says I love slavery. Like, you know, the I love New York t-shirts with the heart, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's rather awesome. Okay, well, yeah. But how does the body actually work? You're talking about how it works electronically, and a lot of people will think, "Oh, well, it's biological." You know, what are you doing? You're running a few electrodes or something into the. I mean, you're not doing shock therapy or anything scary like that, are you?
No, actually, but we can. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not, because we're all electrical. Your senses are electrical. Your taste buds are electrical receptors. Your sinus cavities, your smelling ability is electrical receptors. The inner ear is electrical receptors. They've actually got machinery now that have said between the lining of your intestinal tract and your blood, there is over 2,000 electrical and informational transmissions per second that take place. Your balance is electric. Everything we do is electrical first before there's any biological reaction. You have to think a thought which is electrical in order to even point to your head like this. Right? That's an electrical thing. That's not a biological thing. I mean, it is a biological thing, but it's an electrical thing first. The sperm is not allowed to enter the egg in fertilization without an electrical process first.
Okay. Well, I was also wondering about in terms of the body electrics, you know how some people get struck by lightning and stuff like that? Some of them die, some of them survive. And it's really, really strange to me. I was always wondering, you know, in sort of like a superhero fashion, if somebody could be struck by a bolt of lightning and somehow contain the energy.
That'd be cool. There was a movie called Powder. It was back in the 80s. That guy was like attract electricity, you know, the lightning was attracted to him.
Mm.
I've been shocked a few times, struck by lightning a couple times. I lived through it. It was kind of a really weird experience. It was undescribable feelings. I lived.
Well, you said undescribable feelings. You mean you can't describe them now? Because that'd be very interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, here, I've been around electrical equipment most of my life on the farm. My dad had like 13 irrigation pivots, so that they operated on, I believe it was three-phase 440 volts. And every once in a while, we would get shocked, and actually welded the end of my finger one time between two contacts. It like fried the meat on my hand, and being shocked with electricity was similar to that. It was, I mean, the colors of my perception of colors changed for a little bit while. I couldn't even hear for a while. The things tasted differently. It came back after a few days, but it was a very unique experience. It was like nothing I've ever felt before, and I've been, you know, shocked by a lot of electricity on the farm, and that being struck by lightning was completely different.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know exactly where you'd like to take this interview, Will, because we have a good 2 hours and things like that. How about we share with the listeners a little things that perhaps they don't know about the body, something interesting, something profound.
Something profound. Well, there's over 10,000 microorganisms that live inside of our skin and outside of our skin. That's responsible for 80% of our immunity or more. At the same time, those organisms are responsible to keep us healthy, and they're also responsible for our digestion. They decontaminate us. They help us break down our food. They create hormones and enzymes. And most people are very, very deficient in the beneficial ones, and the ones that most of them have gone pathogenic. I'm seeing that, like, most people that we see have pathogenic problems. Their organisms are totally out of balance inside them, and they're suffering from that immensely.
Well, you see that diseases are growing all over the place. I don't know about you, but I seem to notice so many people getting sick now, and usually with life-threatening illnesses. You know, like those are the times when somebody tells you that they're sick is when they've got something that's really, really bad.
Right.
And the rates of cancer and all sorts of other debilitating diseases or like what's it called? Multiple sclerosis and all these other degenerative diseases and things of that nature are just popping up seemingly everywhere to me. And I'm just wondering, what the hell is it that's killing us?
The state of our health. We are in such decline. It is everywhere. I mean, we have clients on every continent, and we're getting calls like you wouldn't believe from all over the place. I mean, upper respiratory infections. Is rampant right now. Lyme's, L-Y-M-E, Lyme disease, if you want to call it that, is epidemic. Fungal infections, like you wouldn't believe. Cancer, actually, I got an interesting story about cancer. This comes personal experience here. We live fairly close to John Hopkins University Hospital, which is supposed to be one of the nation's top cancer hospitals, and every single person that has come to us with a diagnosis of cancer from them looking for another opinion, we have yet to find cancer in their body.
That's interesting.
And this is the number one rated cancer hospital, or one of the number one, one of the best, they say, and it's never cancer. It's always a pathogen of some kind. We've even had a guy with a tapeworm in his stomach, and they called it cancer.
How interesting. Well, maybe if you're John Hopkins University Hospital and your specialty is cancer, would by chance the so-called cures or treatments that they'll give you if you got cancer actually cause cancer? So they diagnose you with anything and just call it cancer, then give you a whole bunch of treatments like chemotherapy and then manifest the cancer and then keep treating you until you die and take away a hell of a lot of money?
That's what I see happening. And the science is proving that's what's happening. And the business model that they use is that's what's happening. So, yes, that's what I see. Because it's their business model. It's their medicine policies. And the science is backing up that their chemotherapy and radiation actually cause cancer. I mean, so it's a great marketing tool, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It's the classic Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution. Hey, you've got, mammograms, for instance. That's another thing that interests me. You know, put your very sensitive breast tissue here on this radiation device to test whether or not it's got cancer. And then after we test it, there's no cancer or whatever, but make sure you come back in 3 months and then there will be for a recheck.
That's what the science is saying, too. If you don't have cancer before you start mammograms, you will after. It's the same way with colonoscopies. If you don't have cancer before you start doing colonoscopies, you will after you start, because it causes so much damage, and the technicians are so hard on your body that they damage the inside of your colon. So, I mean, it's a great marketing. I just don't buy that. I live in a different world. I want to help the body heal, not cause it to be harmed, so then I make more money on the deal. It just boggles my mind. It makes no sense.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of Coca-Cola, you know, drink this, it'll quench your thirst, and then they put salt in it. so that as soon as you finish drinking the Coke, you're like, man, what's that horrible salty taste in my mouth? I think I'll have another.
There again, Barbara, we're back to marketing. You think they all learn from the same school of marketing?
Well, you mean like the Frankfurt School or something like that?
Yeah, you think they do? It's like taught
somewhere? Well, we have a global sort of education system that applies by, you know, certain standards of basically, here's my dig. If something is an establishment, okay, like if it's government-funded, corporate-funded, or something like that, then you've got to be just a little bit suspicious of what its true intentions or true goals or true effect really is. Then if you start looking into it and you assume, until you've seen contrary evidence, that whatever their stated intention is the direct opposite. So, for example, if Coca-Cola says we're going to quench your thirst, their job is obviously to make you thirsty. If a John Hopkins University is to say we're going to cure you of cancer, it's their job to give you the cancer, so on and so forth. And eventually you'll find out that most establishments, I'm not saying all, because I haven't looked at every single one of them all, but every single one that I have looked at thus far fits into that little paradigm.
I agree. If you're a corporation and your bottom line is to appease your corporate board and your whole thing is to make money, and that's the way they make money, I'm totally with you. I have, in some of the other, even the food industry, the medical industry, the military model, it's all here. And it's not just in one country or another. It's internationally, planetary, the same. Corporate monster everywhere.
Yeah. It's kind of like, nanobots or something like that. You know, you sit down and they use whatever available resources there are to replicate themselves. You know, it's not entirely different to how, say a country gets colonized and then the colonizers bring all their given establishments and workings and cultural aspects and things along for the ride. It's just basically what's happening here along the whole strain of humanity. It's just the old ideas of eugenics, murder, insanity, lies, deception, marketing. Wait, lies, deception, and marketing are the same thing. Sorry. At least I think so. In practice they are. In practice they are. In theory, no. Marketing is all different. But yeah, that's basically how it is. And unfortunately, it's been going on for quite some frickin' time, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. It only seems to be getting worse. Yet, the glimmer of hope is that it is now, for the very first time, being exposed. It has not yet been toppled. It has not yet been resisted to an adequate point where it cannot sustain itself anymore. How much more exposing do we need to do? I wonder. Will Spencer, the body electrician clinic man, is my very special guest today. And I want to allow you to respond to that, Will, when we get back from the break. If it's even important, I'm kind of a bit frazzled today, as you might tell by the frustrated tone of my voice. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break. At the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose a sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts.
But I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles. But I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually, will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us. Right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacles. The two sides are identical. The troops are not ejectable. They're forming a prodigy and making the Jordan come out of me. It's like recording Nostradamus, taking a tour in the prophecy. The real American gangsters make the poor live in poverty. With the
welcome back.
Dictatorship in a foreign economy.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Will Spencer, the Body Electrician Clinic. Now, what were we talking about just before the break? I wanted to let you respond on it.
The appearance of the corruption. And I'm seeing good things. Iceland already kicked the bankers out, and they're changing. Portugal, they're rallying in the streets. You have other countries, like six countries recently, that have outlawed genetically modified organisms. It's happening. People are, you know, they're pushing against the fence. The herd's getting anxious. It's getting unbearable because, really, you know, and in this country, here at the United Soviet States of America, you have this mirage of gun control, and then you have, like here, I just was reading through the paper, there's a county just locally, in the month of January, sold 49,000 firearms in one county.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's just outside of Philadelphia.
Whoa. So,
yeah, 49,000 in one county. The next county over, there was 30-some thousand. The county where I live, there was 10, like, I don't know, it was like close to 10,000 or something. That's how many firearms are being sold just here in a little bit of radius where I live.
All right, let's control. Gun control seems a little bit of a moot point by then, don't you think? If you got that many weapons in possession by the general public who aren't willing to give them up, it doesn't matter what you say. It only matters what you do. Are you willing to invade people's homes in guns drawn raid and expect to lose a couple of SWAT team members every single home you go into to take people's weapons off them? I don't think so.
They may try it. I mean, they're starting to. Just like in California, they've raided, I think it's like the sixth time they've raided this co-op again not too long ago. Like six times now they've raided this co-op for selling raw milk.
Yeah, but that's the reason why they invade those raw milk sellers, is because those raw milk sellers don't have guns to defend themselves.
That's what I'm saying. If they would put security at the front door, they would hire the private security force. Who's going to come in and take their raw milk when they're going to when they have people protecting the raw? Because in California, you can legally sell raw milk in a state level. It's just because the feds say something don't mean anything. It's the states that are allowing it. See, this is the contradiction here. You have the federal government that has got, you know, a stack of rules this high, you know, 10 million different laws. And then you got that's the federal government. And the states allow most of this stuff. Like in Colorado, you can grow marijuana. Iowa, you can grow. A bill just went into the state house in Des Moines, Iowa, to grow, I believe Des Moines. I think Des Moines is the state capital anyhow. But anyhow, at the state house to legalize marijuana in Iowa. And you have yet, on the federal level, it's illegal.
Now, general knowledge test here. Can you name the three branches of government?
Executive, judicial, and executive.
Executive, judicial, and executive? That's two.
Executive, judicial, and what did I just say? Executive, judicial. I don't know. I went to public education most of my life, so I'm a little bit dense in that department.
Here's the thing. That's actually the three branches of the federal government, is the legislative, judicial, and the executive. That's actually the three branches of the federal government. The three branches of the actual government is the people, the states, and the federal government. Most people do not know that, and a listener of mine sent me this. A state senator actually stood up and he asked this question to the House, and they didn't know. The very people running the country don't know how the country's supposed to be run on an even simple three terms defining what the state government or federal government or role of the people is. No wonder it's going out of control.
That's a fact. We've allowed it.
People don't know this either.
Yeah, right. We've allowed it. Somebody sent me an email not too long ago about it was an eighth grade exam from 1840 or something like that.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one. It's impossible, eh?
Yeah.
How dumb totally. Are we by comparison?
Oh man, I totally failed that.
I think I would have got maybe a 2%, maybe 10% rate if I'd taken that exam, based upon current educational levels compared back to educational levels back in the day. There's just no comparison. The country has been, and the world indeed, has been deliberately dumbed down by way, 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 way dumber. Now, ironically, I think what was he talking about? I think it was Albert Einstein who said that once technology gets beyond the scope of most people, once they're using all this real flashy technology and they don't know how it works, we'll produce a nation of idiots. We got it.
Bingo.
Okay, how many times you've been sitting around and everybody's with their little cell phones and stuff like that, could they take apart that cell phone and put it back together? Would they be able to engineer it? Would they be able to so much as design a single app for it? Most of the cases, no. We have no idea how our technology works. This little, Mac Magic Mouse. I have no idea how that works. You know, I don't know how this microphone works or this computer or anything like that. I don't know how any of it works. And that's the real problem here, is that we've all gotten stuck into a society full of devices that we have no understanding of. We know what they do, but we don't know how they do it. And I think that there's something inherently wrong with that.
I'm with you. It makes us a victim.
Yeah, that's how people are, you know. They don't care how it works as long as it works.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you... I heard somebody say the other day, that if all the engineers left the country tomorrow, everybody would probably die within 3 days of starvation or the cold or something like that.
Well, almost everybody. I'm not. I'd give me a knife, I'll head off into the woods and disappear. I got skills. If more people would have actual survival skills, but we're not. We're used to convenience.
And remote abundance.
Control. Yep, abundance, absolutely. I grew up poor. And it made you smart. On top of that, we grew up way up north when it's cold for, 6 months out of the year. So you have to know how to survive. most people, you know, they'd hardly ever have to put long underwear on anymore because they go from their heated house to their heated car or the heated bus to their heated job, and then they go back home again or go to the heated store. I mean, where I come from is, 45 below zero. And you had to go outside. I farmed outside. I had animals. And you had to know how to live. You had to think ahead. You had to have a different thinking process than people have nowadays living in the concrete jungle. All the conveniences makes you dumb.
Yeah. We once told we had a Canadian listener. We were having a conversation once and talking about, you know, Canadian hitchhiking is really dangerous because, you know, you've got your thumb out there and it's in the... It's in the freezing cold wind, and we through this scenario, you know, somebody like stops a car and stuff like that, takes his hand, and the poor person's thumb snaps off. Canadian hitchhiking, it's rough.
Well, I grew up just south of the Canadian border a little ways, and I'll tell you, I believe it. I mean, it's cold. And you have to think, and that's what it frustrates me. People, they don't. There's like common sense has been bred out of people because they don't have to use it. It's like a muscle.
Yeah. Well, it should be known as platinum sense because it's very, very rare these days.
Yeah, I can agree with that one.
Yeah, yeah, and I've got this real kind of concern, you know, that eventually people won't know how to communicate with each other either anymore, okay? In fact, you can already see it happening now. There's a phenomenon with people communicating with their cell phones and things like that, and now kids don't know how to break off relationships honestly and in person anymore. They just send a text message, it's over, right? That human interaction, that real emotional, you're here, I'm here, we're looking at each other in the eyes and we're being honest about how we feel, basically, it doesn't have to happen anymore. And I found that when people don't have to do things that they don't like, that's when they stop doing it and then they lose the ability to do it overall, right? So imagine, you know, a couple of generations down the track, you talk to somebody and say, when was the last time you had a real conversation? You know, something personal, about something important. Most people, nothing.
They go years without that.
Already they go years without it.
Yeah.
Imagine how bad it's going to get if we don't stop it and turn it around. You're like, no. What we're doing right now is not important. What we're talking about here is insignificant. Let's talk about something that matters, something that is life-changing, something that will broaden my horizons. I thank you very much. I'm not going to sit back and talk about some kind of irrelevant television show as the basis of my existence and social interaction. No, I want to have personal relationships with people, and I want to actually create something with those people when I'm doing it. Right now, well, you and I, we're creating something. It's called a radio interview, and it's being archived and things like that. You know, it's a work. It's a product. And at the end of this conversation, we actually have something to show from it. I love that kind of thing about relationships with people where you really do get together and make something. You know, you build a birdhouse or make a song or write a script or something like that is what I was doing over the weekend with my friend Mikhail. And it's intensely useful to have relationships like that. Unfortunately, now the vast majority of relationships are like, "Have you got any weed, bro? Have you got any? Do you want to go and have a beer, bro? Or do you want to go out clubbing and try to max some bitches, bro? You know, and that's about it. It's all about recreation, leisure, producing nothing, and actually paying for the privilege to do it. Makes you totally dependent, totally disconnected." From the entirety of society and even yourself. And I wonder, you know, depression rates are skyrocketing through the roof now, aren't they?
Oh, it's because
people don't know their place anymore. They don't know, they don't have a purpose for their life.
The whole structure that we live in this industrialized civilization has bred this. The powers that be have actually, I believe, have instituted this to keep the slave work unit force in this spot where they're told what to do. There's no real anymore. It's all on the surface. It's all plastic. It's all, nothing gets, you don't communicate, you're totally isolated, you're totally victimized. This whole structure, if you look at it, and I've been looking at it seriously for like 20 years, it's designed this way, and people just keep falling for the lies. And I believe it, I mean, it goes right down into your health, and I bring everything back to the health because it's all related. Everything is related. Depression is at all times high, not just because the stress is there or you're feeling alone and isolated. When we as humans are community animals, community beings, we depend on each other. Our eyes only look out. But we have a food chain that is deficient of necessary elements that help our emotional state through the ingestion of these elements. They're not there. So we have multiple contributing factors all at the same time. And now we're just looking at the product of this society. I mean, I'm really done with this game. It's like, I want to put this game, we'll call it Monopoly, back in the box. Let's have another game. Because I'm really tired of this game.
You know what we need? We need a game changer.
Yeah. You got an idea?
You know, I honestly don't. I don't know how to change the entire game. I can change what I'm doing. Like, right now I'm having a dispute with somebody, but I'm not mentioning who it is or what it's about, and I don't want to talk about it at all. That's how I play the game, yeah. You know? I mean, if you've got conflicts with somebody and it's not actually right in your face, what worth is it, you know? You're simply going to distract yourself from doing your important stuff that the listeners depend on. You know, I've come to realize that the listeners depend on laughing their asses off on the show every day just to keep their sanity. Hell, I'm dependent on this show for my sanity as well. And to go down dark rabbit holes and things like that. I see, that's a game changer, you know? If somebody attacks you, don't attack back, you know? Right. Just let them have their fun. Let them have the last word if they want it. And just move on. And do something kind for somebody else. That's what's happened to everybody who's mean to me. I'll get really upset. And then I'll have 10 people ask me to do something nice for them, and I'll do 10 nice things just after one person is mean to me. That's a game changer right there. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that?
Whose side are you on?
Are you on?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that is on the right side of history, with my very special guest, Will Spencer, from the Body Electrician Clinic, who's also a host on wolfspiritradio.com. I forgot the guy's name at wolfspiritradio.com. Anyway, they're simulcasting this right now.
Dave.
Dave Corso, that's the one.
Yeah, don't forget about Dave.
Just know so many freaking people. It's a wonder I remember any of their names, let alone all of them. Okay, shoot, man. You know. Well, I'm really kind of frustrated and sort of blasé and sort of like kicked sideways today. And it's really difficult to maintain the conversation without yelling and screaming. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I couldn't be better for you today.
Hey, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'll wander around through the woods with you. I don't care.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's not the right thing to do. So let's change the subject. Change the subject. You know, something's bothering you. Like I don't want the listeners to be, part of my problems and things like that. Been receiving a lot of support from them recently, but God. You ever had anybody attacking you, Will, that you've had to respond to?
Yeah, twice in the last week.
Yeah.
For no reason, out of nowhere. Something I didn't even do.
Yeah.
It's just like taking something I said 6 months ago out of context, and then all of a sudden it comes through three people back to me. Did you really do this? This guy's saying all this stuff. No, I didn't do that. Sorry. He said I must be having a bad day or something, but I didn't say that. I swear it's like epidemic right now because there's people are not understanding each other. There's like conflict everywhere. It's like unbelievable. On top of the illnesses that are going around, we have this emotional conflict. It's like in the air.
Oh my God, that's so totally what I've been experiencing lately. And it's not just one or two or so people. It's actually lots of them. You know, just like in my own personal experience, maybe like four good friendships have been tested like in the last week. You know. That is a huge amount, okay? Normally, one would be tested in a year, and you got four in a week coming at me. It's really messed up, man. I don't know what is going on out there. People are getting really, really frustrated. Stuff is coming down on them, I think. Emotional stress, financial stress, things like this. And instead of dealing with it, making more money and centering themselves, they blame other people and attack them for problems they themselves are the cause of and can be the cure of. Is that about right?
Yeah, but that's the whole system we live in, though. You're a victim. It's not your fault. You're entitled to, you know, a handout. So just leave me alone. And then waffle on. That's not my fault. I mean, blame it on somebody else. It's like that's like the going thing. They don't teach ethics anymore. They don't teach integrity anymore.
Maybe they should.
You think?
Maybe the only thing that should really be taught really is the opposite of everything that's being taught now. They teach you to be a good consumer. I think we should teach them to be good producers. You know, people that make and create things. If they want to teach you to be emotionally distant and not be honest and open with people, you teach them to be people of integrity, people of honor and respect.
I have a friend in Oregon that was like back about 20 years ago, he discovered this and he started his own school. And now he's graduating. I've met some of his teenagers coming out of his school now. And I would be honored to have them working for me, or I'd be just honored to have them as my friend. They have integrity. They have morality. They can communicate to you on a level that you can't just walk up to anybody in Walmart and get that kind of a conversation, like you're saying. That relationship they have coming out of his school, they're able to be with you right now in the communication. They get who you are, what you're saying, and they communicate back. And we're talking teenagers here. That's rare. That's the game changer that we need to start doing.
That sounds wonderful. Oh. It would be nice if everybody could send their kids to a school like that, weren't forced into public education, or if they could afford to do it, if they weren't taxed so much, you know. And I thought, well, that we needed a whole new schooling system, you know, from preschool all the way up through university that's run by people like us, you know, where we teach kids the truth and we only teach them what they really need to know. How to discern things, you know, how to use the trivium, how to think logically, how to have honor and integrity and common decency, common sense, knowing true history, knowing true biology, true chemistry, how to build and create devices of a technological and technical nature, and things like that, because. As we were referring to earlier before, you know, if you don't understand the things that you're doing and you don't understand the objects that you're using, is it even possible to therefore truly understand who you are, you know? Because I think it's like we distract ourselves with all these things around us that we don't understand and vainly entertain ourselves with. And as a result, we forget who we are and we forget what's important and we focus on things that are well, for some that accomplish somebody else's objectives that don't advance us down a path of any significance.
It used to be that was taught just as being a family member. It used to be taught that way. That was just part of life. When I grew up, I mean, I went to public school, but I had every chance I get, I was at home with dad. My kids, I homeschool for my oldest, 10 years, 8 years. We homeschooled because that was just, I didn't want them to go to public education. They're in public education now. I got divorced and all that, but I want to go back to that where we can, I want to create my own school. I'm in this to create a difference on this planet. I'm my partner now. We've developed the foundation where we're getting ready to launch a website where we can actually do that. We want to create intentional communities where people can get together and have a schooling and have our own barter system instead of having Federal Reserve notes. We're in the process of making a contribution to this planet instead of living in this victim industrialized mentality.
I had an idea. What about a Skype school? You know, kids know how to use Skype these days, don't they? What if, you know, you had like a schedule and maybe like 10 people to a classroom or something like that. They had somebody like you lecturing about body electrics for an hour at one course, and then there'd be me lecturing about scumbaggery for another hour or something like that, and there'd be six different courses throughout each day. So you spend 6 hours talking to people who know what they're talking about. And that's your classroom, and you don't even have to leave home. So, in essence, you bring the world of knowledge and the wealth of knowledge that is really available out there into your living room, into your family environment, and you do that for free, and you don't ever have to worry again about going to, I don't know about you, but I really hated going to school for quite a number of reasons. And it might have been different in your day, but... I hated getting up early. I couldn't think early in the morning, you know. Apparently teenagers' brains don't even activate until 11 o'clock in the morning or something. Then here we are at 8:30 doing maths, double period maths in the frickin' morning or some crap like that. For frack's sake, you know, give me a break. And also the fact that I was always the one blamed. If anything ever went wrong and I was involved, like if there was a fight or something, even if I was attacked, I'd be the one who got suspended, that kind of thing. I felt persecuted both by the administrators of the school and by the other kids around me. I really didn't like it.
I didn't either. I had my hands busted in lockers. I was getting beat up, fighting. I mean, this is from elementary school. I did not have a pleasureful and joyous educational system in that. I just didn't. I didn't like it. My public education experience was very not good.
Maybe your public education experience was designed specifically to make you hate the public and then go out and then have a life or a career where you could be quite happy doing something that shafted every person six ways from Sunday as long as you can get your money. Like the same reason bullies join the cops.
Well, it sure pushed me in a direction where it helped me to be what I am today. And I'm thankful. So I was not a good brainwashed candidate because I just didn't comply. I was a non-compliant in the public system.
Well, you can't... It's difficult to know what the right thing is if you're surrounded by the wrong things, really, don't you think? And if you didn't have your experience with your parents and things like that before and after school teaching you the things like the way of the world and the lay of the land, maybe you would have turned out a drastically different individual. And there's so much divorce nowadays, like plus 50 plus percent. So the majority of families are broken. So without the cohesive family unit, that is responsible, really, in my opinion, for the raising of good children and thus the development of good adults, it leaves the state schools in a disproportionate position of power over the minds of men. That is very dangerous indeed. Will Spencer from the Body Electrician Clinic is my guest, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I love that song, Unity. It was the theme song for the show for, I think, the first year and a half of it. And it speaks of solidarity. It speaks of unity. It speaks of love and service to your fellow man. And that's what the show really embodies, you know. Ultimately, I'm not here to attack the New World Order and, you know, go after them and question them and ambush them with a camera anymore. I once was, but now I don't. Instead, I'm here simply to just promote, help, give coverage to the people who are going out and doing that, because they're really putting themselves at risk. And I've understood that they are, in fact, putting themselves at risk for me and for you. And for all of us. And I only try to do my part to help them ensure they get the coverage that they deserve. That is really the only intention of this show, is to help people who help others simply be recognized, because they're often very humble people who don't seek the publicity for themselves in huge quantitative ways. And there's very... It's much of a privileged position that I find myself in, speaking to some of the wisest people with such integrity every single day on the show. Like my very special guest, Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com. I'll just make sure you get a plug in there. Go visit his website, ladies and gentlemen. We're making sure to do that sort of thing. Yeah. Just feeling a bit bleh today. And I apologize if I'm not my usual fruitful, happy, bouncy ball at the beach self today. It just shows that, you know, we're all hurting at this point in time, ain't we, Will?
Yeah, we live in a universe of polarity. We have ups and downs. We can't have up without down. So hey, I'm enjoying the down. Don't make it mean anything other than just it is what it is. And you'll notice that even just doing that, the biology will shift a little bit differently in your perception. So, you know, we're down. I get down. I'm right down right now. I'm tired, packing for a trip. We're going to be traveling. We actually got 14 stops with making some house calls, got some seminars lined up the next 2 weeks. And I'm tired. My camper's not packed, and we're going to leave. And it's just like, when's this going to end? You know, I'm frustrated. I got, you know, my own stuff. But we're here sharing what we got with people. I'm so thankful you said what you said. I'm glad you have this little platform here and you asked me to be on your show. I thank you so much that you have this place, this time to share and consider me to be of value to be sharing from your platform. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I got the saying that all the best things that I have in my life have actually been given to me, right? Everything, quite literally. I'm wearing a T-shirt that was given to me, wearing shorts that were hand-me-downs, underwear that was given to me by my girlfriend at Christmas. The microphone that I'm using was bought for me by a listener named Werner. Thank you, Werner. This Mac that I'm using was given to me by a listener named Sam. Thank you, Sam. I literally wouldn't be able to do anything that I'm doing, not to mention this radio show and this this time that I have every single day, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, was given to me by Danny Romero of American Freedom Radio. I know what it's like to have things given to you when you feel you deserve them. And the more that I'm given, the more that I feel I must give back, if you know what I mean. It keeps the circle going.
I totally know what you mean. We give till it hurts, literally. I make sure that people call for help in information and time, that I give them the time, and I know I run out of time. It appears that I am neglect almost, and I apologize. It's just we're just a small little organization here, but we do what we can do. We give everything that we have back as much as possible without even thinking about it. We're a business, yes, but we pay our bills and then we give what we can.
Yeah, and I'm also really cognizant of the fact that it's because of the fact that we've got audiences and we've got customers and things like that who support us and what it is that we do. That I just really thank God for every single day, because what's the alternative, We can't go back and work for some major mega death corporation, can we? No. It drives us completely insane. In fact, I felt like I was going insane my last few months of work years and years ago. Haven't been employed by anybody since, and thank frack for that. And not collecting a government dole. I'm not collecting any money off any government agency or anything like that. Not even a accommodation supplement. I mean, we went and got a few food parcels once when we were starving, but that's about it. Don't be a leech on society. Essentially, you've got to be like those good bacteria that you hear about. Cluster around the surface of that skin and protect it from viruses and help it to heal with some nice gooey, mushy goodness.
I'm sorry for chuckling there.
How can you not chuckle at gooey, mushy goodness?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was good. You're recording this, aren't you?
Unfortunately, I am. Might be the biggest mistake in my life.
No, this is real, folks. I mean, this is unrehearsed, straight, this is raw right here.
Yeah. I think we might get, because it's raw, I think the food police might be after us next. Guns drawn raids,
No, that's okay, because I'm licensed by the Pastoral Medical Association, which protects me from them. So the corporations, they can just go pound sand, because they don't have any jurisdiction. I'm protected.
I don't think jurisdiction protects anybody from crap, especially criminals.
Yeah, well, it's nice.
After all, does the federal government have jurisdiction inside the states if the states are abiding by state laws and stuff like that? What was I talking about? The dispensaries in California getting raided by the DEA and stuff like that. That's out of their jurisdiction, isn't it?
No, not really, because in this country, if they're allowed to do it without any complaint, then they can supersede jurisdiction. Because this is a complaint-driven system. If the local law enforcement say they have to stay out, then the feds have to stay out. But it's up to the locals, and that's the problem. We have local law enforcement, especially here in the United Soviet States of America. We have local law enforcement that are taking so much federal money that they have to give in almost, because their paycheck is reliant on the federal handouts. So they have to give in almost. I mean, there's a few counties that I know of that there's no way that the feds are coming in. There's a few sheriffs around here that have stood up and said, no, federal government, you just go away. I used to lobby at the state house a few years ago now. Shoot, it's been almost a decade. Anyhow, we used to do lobbying, so I know how this system is designed. It's all about allowing consent. And if they consent to the federal government coming in, well, that's just too bad. That's just then they come in and do what they do. That's why, you know, I want to move to a county, because the county I live in right now is really corrupt, and we're planning on moving because the feds are always in here causing problems. I want to move to a county where there's actually the county law or the state law supersedes and pushes the dang feds out.
You know, here's the problem. I'm not 100% sure if any county will be safe for long. I think if a sheriff pushes them out, they'll sit back for a little bit, and then they might run a defamation campaign. Like they've done it to Congress people, I think, where somebody in Congress will speak out against the tyrannical federal government. And then all of a sudden, their opponent in the next election cycle gets huge promotions, huge donations, and they use it to demonize and attack this congressional person that speaks out. Like, I think Cynthia McKinney is a good example of that. And I think maybe that they'll try to do the same thing for sheriffs. And here's the thing. If somebody stands up for the right thing, you can be assured that the wrong people will start attacking them. So if you want that person who's doing the right thing to stay there and keep doing the right thing, just saying, good on you, mate, is not enough anymore. You actually need to kind of, I don't know, become part of the posse, as it were, you know? Ride round with the sheriff with a sheriff's issued department shotgun or something like that, just in case some mafia don or something like that dressed in a black uniform comes up and tries to assassinate him, as happened to Mike Harris's friend, a sheriff who was up against the drug cartels and the corruption in South Texas, got found with a bullet in the left side of his head and executed with all his wife and his children in the car. You know, this kind of thing. Everybody was standing up behind him and going, yeah, he's doing the right thing, he's doing the right thing, but nobody was there to protect him when he really needed it.
That's too bad. Here in this county, we don't have a real sheriff anymore. We have one that is hired and fired. They just fired one last year because he was not doing what the corporation said to. So there's not a real sheriff here in this county. He's actually an employee of the county corporation.
Yeah, which is not a real sheriff. Sheriffs are elected by the people.
Right, but that's a lot of counties now, are especially around metropolitan here on the East Coast of the United States, where the scumbaggery actually was started and entrenched right here. They don't have real sheriffs. They have corrupt agents of the corporation posing as law enforcement, actually policy enforcers. They're not for the people. They're for the corporation.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen a lot of stories like that come out of Occupy Corporatism as well, where almost all police departments are now officially corporate private security. And they're not there to protect the people. Like, it's not in their mandate to protect people or to prevent crime or anything like that. It's actually their purpose is to protect the state and protect the corporations. The people are inconsequential. We're simply insects with a revenue dial that keeps clicking over.
Well, I have a sheriff's department letter here that I'm requesting some documents. And on the bottom it says, with courage, honor, and dignity, we protect the rights and dignity of all citizens. In the partnership with our communities, we strive to preserve the peace and are dedicated to excellence in the delivery of public safety services.
And then you apply my rule, which is do the direct opposite of that. And that's usually what's actually really going on, right? Would you agree?
I agree.
So he's saying something about protecting the public, therefore they're there to enslave the public. He says something about it, something about integrity, therefore it's to do with scumbaggery. See, you just can't make this stuff up. You really can't. It's, I don't know how to explain this to people. without getting attacked and demonized and called a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. You know, when you tell somebody that everything is a lie, where do you start? You know, where do you start explaining? Do you start explaining the monetary system? Do you start explaining law enforcement? Do you start explaining the corrupt judiciary? Do you start explaining about the politicians? Do you start explaining about the lobbyists or the corporations or the depleted uranium or the fluoride or the massive quantities of drugs in the water and being pumped into everybody as long as they've got a psychiatrist with a prescription pad who's basically just a drug pusher with an education? Where do you start?
Well, ask the person you're talking to.
You never once believed in this system. I did. I was once a full-on believer. I was such a believer that when I was busted for drugs, well, I told the police absolutely everything. You know, yes, I've been selling drugs. I've been selling it for about 8 months or something like that, for about an ounce a week, etc., you know, and told them everything. And then they still made up evidence in court against me. I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for a first offense for possession of 13 grams of cannabis.
Wow.
You've got to be freaking... That's what they do to you, if you're honest.
Yeah, so it doesn't pay, does it?
Honesty does not pay in a system that is run by freaking lying scum.
That's right.
I mean, I remember going down to back in the day before I got off the socialist tit of government handouts and things like that. I remember, you know, being asked all these questions and they'd answer them honestly and they'd say, "Oh, really? Well, here's this benefit that we can't give you now." And you know, you'd be more honest and you'd go, "Oh, really? Well, we're going to have to cut that benefit in half now." And then I was saying to other people who are telling me, "Vinny, you should actually lie to them, lie through your teeth, lie to them about that, lie to them about that, lie to them about that, and then you'll get what's actually coming to you, what will actually be of benefit and of use to you." And it fracked me off to no end that you had to literally lie to the authorities in order to get something you're supposed to be entitled to. And that's why I don't go after any government handouts at all anymore. You know, it's just that simple.
But it's really not lying because it's all an illusionary game anyhow. So it's really called, you're just creating the illusion.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what the difference is between creating an illusion that other people have to really live their lives under and simply telling everybody that what their lives are is really good when it's really not. You know, I don't know. It's really weird. It's fracked up. We'll be right back. Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's to the show that's all about exercising during the breaks. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. I also want to remind people that the bank accounts are running a little bit low. I think maybe we've got a couple of weeks worth of rent left, so if you want this show to stay on the air, please subscribe for a couple of dollars a month, even a dollar a month, you know, don't care, or make us a donation of some kind and we'll give you access to the commercial free archives, which I spend a little bit of extra time on for your listening pleasure, so you can listen to all these wonderful guests and things like that in nice and quick fashion too, like this one right here, Mr. Will Spencer, BodyElectrician.com. How long have you actually had that website up, man?
5 years.
Yeah. Doing very well at all? Or
No, we're doing okay. We have a steady growth. I quit spending money on advertising. Doing interviews like this, and then I have two of my own shows every week. It seems to be the best payoff for me because people get to hear me. Because I talk, the things we do are a little bit out of the norm. I mean, we're like on the fringe of the fringe. We're lumped into natural health, but I really don't use the typical natural health way of looking at things. I have a very unique view of the body and how it works. And when you reverse people's diseases, like diabetes goes away usually in under 60 days, no matter how much insulin you're on. When you help people, that word gets around. Or when somebody drops 90 pounds, or when somebody's cancer disappears, or when somebody doesn't have MS anymore and is not using their walker, or I even helped a guy regain sight in one eye last year. When you do things like that, your people around you notice, and they start asking questions, and that's our best advertising, is actually our clientele.
Yeah, well, even in the sales jobs before I started doing radio and everything, that was something I noticed, is that word of mouth is the most effective form of advertising. You know, you can advertise to people on the radio or TV or in newspapers and things like that, and they'll have such and such level of effectiveness. But if you're advertised to by somebody you personally know who's right there in front of you saying, you know, this guy was really awesome, man, he did this, that, and the other, and they can really see it for themselves, and it has a personal touch, bam, you cannot beat that.
Absolutely. That's real. That's why I just quit spending money on advertising. It doesn't pay because it's plastic. I want to be authentic. I want to be here right with you talking about, you know, whatever, like today. You know, you say you're not having that great of a day. Well, that's okay. You know, it's okay. And we don't practice for this, you know. We're just here sharing what we got in the moment. And that is, to me, that's real. And that's what what's heartfelt about this kind of media. It's just real.
Yeah. Some of it is, at least. You know, there's... In fact, I would actually completely disagree with you. This media is very unreal. And even myself, I'd probably say I'm one of the realest people out there. And in fact, it even makes me feel dirty to say that. Like that I'm one of the most honest radio show hosts out there who really communicates on a personal level and really tries to help as many people as I possibly can, stays in touch with the audience, that kind of thing, take all their suggestions on board. I don't abuse people or anything like that. So when somebody comes back at me and tries to attack me, or something of that, it actually really hurts my feelings, and it sends me into a massive air of distress, and it's just like I feel the injustice of it more acutely, perhaps, because I'm not trying to be the unjust one.
Well, you're shoving it off pretty good now.
Yeah, but it doesn't make me feel any better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know.
And I think this is probably where the human lust for vengeance really comes from, is that you feel raw about things until you get your own back in most cases. You'll eventually not feel quite as bad, you know, if you just let things go and eventually move on or whatever. But that memory of being messed round or whatever is still there, and it will always be there. And that raw feeling and that memory will always be there until you get your own back. And that's been my experience all the way through life anyway.
Well, it is, but I have changed my perception on that a little bit, because I just stopped making it mean things. It's not a personal attack. And then when I look at those emails, or when people are talking to me or calling and going, what's going on? Or I'm like, well, it's not my deal. People are going to do what people are going to do. Unfortunately, we live in a system that it's easy and acceptable to lash out at somebody, even unjustly. And it's not my deal, though. I didn't encourage this other guy to attack me the other day in an email. He's having a bad day, and he thought it would be better that he would lash out at me to make himself, you know, enriched some way to feel like, you know, better. Like, well, okay, so that's fine. It's not my deal, though. It's very unhealthy for me to make it mean or something personal because somebody else attacked you.
You know, it reminds me of the two most important pieces of advice I think I've ever been given by Catherine Smith. She does this magazine, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And she said, Vinny, don't take yourself too seriously. And don't take what other people say about you personally. And I think that's really just sage advice. And we forget these things, don't we?
Yeah.
Because it's like reversion. Like being angry and enraged at people is kind of like crack, you know? It's really hard to get off it. And even when you are off it, you keep looking at other people having their crack all over the place, and you're like, oh, yeah, I think I have some of that. And it's like, oh, no. Not that I've ever done crack. I'm just using an example here.
Yeah, hate, but it is like
anger
that.
Anger is an addiction.
It's the fix of the adrenaline rush and the cortisol rush that drives you, because it feels good, because you have the adrenaline coursing through your body, and if you don't burn it off, it will drive you nuts. It will tear your immune system down. It will shred your nervous system, because those chemicals are real tangible things. And you got to burn them off, or you kill yourself. I just as soon just not even go there, you know, because it's not my deal. It's just when you live like I live like that, I find it much better to live like that. I do what best I can in every moment. And that's what I do in this moment. That's all we got. So if somebody wants to badmouth me, well, okay, badmouth me then. That's your deal.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I should have this big, big grin on my face. Well, hold on a second. I'm Vinny Eastwood. I'm a really nice guy. I help people every day. And I actually give a frack. And I'm not corrupt. And I'm not a liar. And anybody who says that about me is corrupt and a liar and is engaging in some form of scumbaggery. That makes me feel better about myself, because the only people who can actually attack me are the very, very people who are engaging in said scumbaggery themselves. You know?
Right.
Isn't that great to know that you're not the bad guy, even though and here's the other thing. If you think that you're not the bad guy and you don't question yourself, you know, like, am I doing the right thing here? Am I doing a bad thing here? If you lose that questioning nature about yourself, that's when you do go down the dark road, man. That's when you do become the bad guy. If you don't even for a second guess your own actions to see whether or not they're really still doing the right thing or not. Kind of like you've got a map and you're traveling from point A to point B, and you've taken all these different twists and turns and what have you. How would you know where you really are now? And how would you know whether or not you're still heading to your objective unless you recheck your map?
Very good point.
You know, otherwise you get lost in yourself. And that was actually one of my great fears starting off in this movement. Well, you know, having a media platform and a radio show and everything like that, I thought I'd be overcome with narcissism and become egotistical, like, I have a radio show and you can't criticize me because it's my platform, it's my mute button and what have you, and just basically be the big cheese. You know how everybody says that quintessential phrase, that guy, in inverted commas? And we all know who that guy is. It's the person who is worse than ourselves. And I'm really glad that I haven't turned into what's worse than myself, you know? And I think it's largely due to the fact that I constantly am surrounded by people who remind me what's best in myself.
That makes a difference, doesn't it? I have those in my life too, and they hold me to that standard constantly. I mean, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but overall, it's for the best, I believe.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, you know, like I say, my great fear was becoming one of the corrupt people. You know. And I theorize that if I surround myself with people who expose corruption, how would I ever become corrupt? If all the best people who are closest to me would be people who exposed me if they found out that I wasn't who I said I was. And the thing is, I wouldn't be able to get away with it, right? And I've done that deliberately because I so fear becoming the evil that I've started doing all this to, you know what I'm saying.
I know. I totally know because I have that system here. I mean, I don't do this all by myself, just like you don't do that all by yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And there's a structure here, too, that we hold each other. We hold each other to a standard that we have, you know, that we want to provide the best service. And there's an aspect of integrity that has to go in with this.
Who were the was there a particular person in your life that you met that taught you the real value of integrity that you could point to? Or is it just like a big eclectic influence of different people here?
Oh, no, my current partner right now totally has changed my life. She has opened a door that I never really knew existed when it comes to integrity and your word. It's like I think about it sometimes and my brain hurts because of the new way of thinking.
Like how?
Well, keeping my word. It's not. And then when I make a mistake and I'm late for an appointment or I miss a phone call or I get busy and it's just simply to clean it up. I apologize. I made a mistake and then move on. And not feel guilty, because I come from an extremely religious family that guilted you, shamed you. When you did something wrong, you got beat for it verbally, verbally, sometimes physically. And this is this idea of just, okay, I did it wrong. I'll do better next time. You know, I apologize, and then just move on. That way, because I come from a place that's totally not like that. You get guilted for a month because you made a mistake. Literally. I came from a really sucky place in that regard.
You know, that reminds me of something I was thinking about, I think yesterday, Will, is how society treats people who make mistakes or who do the wrong thing. It's not to help them realize that they did the wrong thing or that they made a mistake and to help them do something better. It's to punish them for as long and as horribly as possible. And there's no benefit from it whatsoever. I never grow or learn any particularly valuable, wonderful lessons off of being overtly punished for something that isn't really that bad or shamed or guilt-tripped for it. What is that? What the hell is that? Why do we do that to each other? You know?
Because we're taught that.
You made a mistake.
Because I don't think inadvertently we're like that. We're taught that.
Well, I think it just winds up with a society full of ninnying, I'm going to tell on you to the school teacher or something type of pathetic, dependent slime. And it frustrates the hell out of me because sometimes you feel like you're the only sane voice in an insane world and you're surrounded by scumbaggery. When you're the only one who's got integrity, and you feel like you're losing that battle sometimes, but then you remember, I'm still alive. I haven't lost yet. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
way out of here. Said a joker to the thief.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about too much confusion and how we can't get no relief. My very special guest is Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com, and we're being simulcast on WolfSpiritRadio.com. Very thanks to the wonderful and majestic Dave Corso. I can't believe I get away with this stuff, calling somebody like Dave Corso majestic. Where do I come up with this stuff? Okay. Going back to Will. We've only got a few more minutes left here, Will. I was wondering if you've learned anything really profound that kind of changed your life in the past year or something, because one thing I've noticed is that you get addicted to that kind of disillusionment sensation, like, wow, I never knew that. And it gives me a whole new perspective on, like, I haven't had one of those sensations in a while. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad in a way. And I think you're muted.
I am. Doggone it. Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a while myself.
You know, well, why is it that we need those sensations as well? Because I don't know. I think I could theorize that it's because I know that I don't know everything, right? And having those profound realizations is simply reinforcing the fact that how little I really know at the end of the day. But, of course, it's encouraging because it means that I am at least learning something new. I don't feel like I've learned a whole lot that's new, simply reinventions of the same stuff over again. You know how humanity goes in cycles? Tyranny, freedom, tyranny, freedom, tyranny, freedom, tyranny, freedom. And it's just, it goes on forever and people don't notice the cycle, and so it continues. I notice the cycle of ignorance and how little we know and how little we care for each other, and I want to find out something deeper about it so that I don't continue to go down that spiraling self-destructive rabbit hole.
I'm with you. I want to break the cycle. I'm aware of the cycle too, and I think it's time to stop. Let's get onto a different cycle or something. I can say I have a couple profound things now that you mention it. I was sitting in a class, actually learning on to better communicate and be an effective speaker, and there was a statement on the wall, and I just forgot the statement. Oh my gosh, I just had it in my head. See there again. Just things come and things go. It's one of those days. I mean, what is this? What is it?
I think it's called exhaustion.
Well, that could be.
You know, like how much sleep have you had, Will?
Well, not enough. That's apparent.
Yeah. And you know, when you don't get enough sleep or you don't get enough, you know, for me, it's like you wake up in the morning and if you haven't had enough sleep, it doesn't matter how much coffee you take down. You still feel like ass.
Yeah.
You know? Like you're not, like you're really not on your game. Especially when you're having like emotional distractions and things like that. Like I remember yesterday, me and my friend Mikhail were trying to make some music. Oh, not yesterday, the day before. And we were trying to go over one of our songs that we'd kind of jammed out and whatever called Raptor Jesus. About our Lord and Savior, you know, the gospel according to Raptor Jesus. And I couldn't come up with any changes to it or anything like that. It was really weird. It was like I was drawing a blank on my own song and couldn't split it up, couldn't change it, couldn't delete words, couldn't add words, couldn't structure choruses or anything like that. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? And I think it's because I was just emotionally drained and feeling like crap, you know. Maybe hadn't had enough sleep. But what was interesting is that we instead of working on a song that we've already done, we decided to jam out. We came up with three new songs. and a fourth one as well. That wasn't quite as good as the other three, but yeah, it's like difficult to work with structure, with structured things, when you're emotionally drained or exhausted or something. But when it comes to creative things, things that are like Spitfire where there's no rules or whatever, those things seem to come through almost easier in a lot of ways. Do you sort of know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I experienced that myself. Totally. When we're having it's almost like the structured things requires the body to be at peak because it's connected to the construction. The constructive things is connected to the physical workings of the body. But when you're tired, your physicality is tired. I have some of my most creative moments in that the body can't function the best, like right now. But yet the creativeness, something will just bang, come, especially driving at night. That's one of my favorite things, totally zoning out like at 2 in the morning, going across, just driving. It's like your body goes on autopilot, and then my mind starts to wander, and I've pulled in more information and created more things in that space. It's amazing.
It's like the witching hour.
Right.
What was the other thing as well? Also knows that when you're really staying up late and you're doing things again, that's when all the profound, really creative stuff, like how the hell did I come up with that kind of moments came from. And I think it's like there's a crossover between the dream world and the real world during those hours when you're really, really tired. And some of those things that you would not remember had you dreamed them are capable of crossing over into this reality through exhaustion.
Totally.
Maybe that's totally, a bit new agey.
No, really, that's old agey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes into the mystics, the great mystics of old talk about that.
Hmm. Well, see, then I wonder why people who are addicted to crystal meth don't come up with really great ideas. You know, they haven't gone to sleep for like a week or something. Hey, you know what the best part about being on crystal meth is, Will?
No, I've never done that. Tell
it's
me.
Only, it's only six more sleeps till Christmas.
Six more sleeps. Oh, my gosh. I know the detriment of that stuff can have on your body. I think that's a total different. If you are using the natural things, you know, like the funguses and the other herbal concoctions that actually the old witch doctor used to use in the past to bring on those states of mind that where creativeness comes from, where those are chemicals, the crystal meth and stuff like that. That's like body putty and all this atrazine all these different chemicals mixed together. I mean, it's totally different.
But then again, if you have a look into, say, Philip K. Dick, he was doing a lot of speed, and he was churning out books like there was no tomorrow. Like it enabled him to zone in and produce like a couple of novels in a year or something like that. And in some cases he had premonitions of things that really happened later on. Like he woke up one time from this really bad dream and he saw this man next to a coffee table in between a chair, you know, lying face down dead. And then he was late to a meeting one day, and his friends went, where is he? And went round to his house and found him in between his coffee table and his chair, face down dead.
Wow.
You know? I'm not encouraging crystal meth, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's just make something clear. I saw this very interesting story this one time with this county sheriff who would take pictures of meth heads, you know, like he'd pick them up 1 month and then he'd pick them up a couple of months later and they'd aged like 20 or 30 years or something like that because of the amount of meth that they were doing. It was like unbelievably scary how fast it deteriorates you. All right.
Yeah.
That's a nice cherry note to lead the program on there.
Yeah, right. Only on the Vinny Eastman show, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry I haven't been quite as up with it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sleep deprived. I'm just kind of like, yeah, You know, when something's on your mind and you can't shake it, and you got to do something else, and you wind up doing that something else not quite as well. That's how I am today, and I really apologize for the lack of quality in the broadcast. I am an imperfect being. Sorry about that. No, truly, I am sorry for not being perfect. I can't claim that I'm the best radio show host in the world. Well, I could, but that would be a lie. And I think that, well, basically, you've got to appreciate the time that you have, at least, and try and stop worrying about all this extra stuff. You know, I know that, Will, you're very tired. Thank you very much for coming on the broadcast with us today, man. Is it bodyelectrician.com is your website?
Yep, bodyelectrician.com, yes.
Bodyelectrician.com. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us, and I know it's been actually difficult for you to stay awake and to concentrate on the conversation as well. Hasn't been difficult for me to stay awake, but it has been difficult to concentrate on the conversation. So, again, listeners, I apologize if you've not enjoyed this broadcast as much as you probably ordinarily would. It is my fault. It really is. I haven't learned how to deal with stuff properly yet. I'm 28. Forgive me.
Right. I forgive you. It's okay.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Elvis has left the building, and we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And please donate or subscribe for as little as $1 a month, and we'll give you access to the commercial-free archives as well, to thank you very much for supporting this broadcast and all the people that we bring on every day. See you again sometime.